You're listening to a Whales or Whales production.
You're also listening to Whales.
Visit whalesorwhales.com for more projects and shows like this one.
This is the Overclocked Podcast, a weekly dose of video game music news and conversation from ocremix.org.
This week, we'll do some holiday catch-up and the Remix Rewind, discover the ninth installment of An Overclocked Christmas, exchange Yuletide greetings, seasonal version of interview, with Rexy and Dusk, and share in a playlist filled with warm-hearted Christmas memories.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Overclocked Podcast. I am your host, Brian, and joining me today is your other host, Stephen. Hello, Stephen.
Merry Christmas. It is still Christmas. Don't tell me anything else.
Oh, yeah. Christmas lasts all year in our hearts, so every episode this year is going to be a Christmas episode. It's going to be great. You're going to be really sick of sleigh bells by the end of this.
We're going to interview Jimmy Henson and Dale North 14 times.
Mm-hmm. More like Dale North Pole.
Oh, more like Jimmy Henson Christmas.
Yeah, so moving on.
What is happening to this podcast, Brian?
So what is happening with this podcast is we're going to start out this episode like we start out every episode with
these... Well, wait. I wanted to let everyone know why we've been so off schedule recently. We had to answer to our crimes.
I don't know what you're talking about, Stephen. We're totally on schedule.
Do you know what day it is, Brian?
It's Christmas.
It ain't Saturday either.
Fair enough. Fine. You can go tell everyone why.
And I also want to let everyone know why I'm talking in somewhat of a monotone, a little bit more nasally mm-hmm. than I have in the past.
Yes.
We were struck by the Christmas busy season and we both got sick.
Yes.
So we were just unable to keep up mm-hmm. with our normal pace of podcasts. But we are back for today, which will probably be Tuesday, but I'm not making mm-hmm. any promises. And we will be back again this week on Saturday, back to our normal schedule with an episode all about 2015 and the good times we had. But for now, it's Christmas.
You keep saying we're back, and I just saw Iron Man, so I keep wanting to just start singing Back in Black all of a sudden.
Well,
so we should probably move on before I start doing that.
I completely agree.
All right, let's move on to our secret songs then. Mine is Back in Black from AC. No, I also am not supposed to announce it. So,
yeah.
Who's should we start with this week, Stephen?
Let's start with yours because mine's going to be better.
Fine. All right. 3, 2, 1.
Whoa, wait.
What?
You can't just jump me like that.
Okay. 3, 2, 1, click.
Sounds like something drinking out of a straw so far. Feel tense. Oh, this sounds Soulsian. Is this from
maybe?
Is this from what's that game you got for Christmas?
Just listen to it.
Okay. This is a horrible Christmas song, Brian.
Well, the Christmas music is for the playlist. This is a secret song.
I know this song.
Oh, you do?
I'm almost completely positive it is from Bloodborne. I think it is the... Oh, I can't remember. Can I look at the title now?
You can.
The Cleric Beast. That's the one you were fighting the other day,
it
right?
It was.
Oh my gosh.
It's a really good song.
You know, I actually knew the song because I was, to tie it back, I was looking up the soundtrack to see if I wanted to buy it for you for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
It's really good, though, actually.
Yeah. This was one of those memorable songs, partially because this is basically the first boss in the game. I think it might be optional, uh-huh. but most people run across it first. And I
was humming it the whole time, making my way back to the boss multiple times.
It's so hummable.
It actually is. Like, me and my friend were both humming it a lot, just going, on the way back to the boss. So, yeah.
It's pretty good. Really good use of strings and screaming.
Yeah, I really like that song. Like, it's not, like, amazing, but it's not, like, typically the type of music I like or would bring to a secret song, but it seemed fitting since this is what I've been playing recently.
Yeah, and it does spin in with the Christmas theme.
Yeah, exactly. So what did you bring, Steven?
Well, I brought a song that will legitimately fit into the Christmas theme, and it's going to be way better than yours.
Probably.
So click on... Did we click on three? One, two, three, click. All right, ready?
Yeah.
One, two, three, click. Doesn't sound familiar?
It sounds like Sonic Runners.
Oh, does it?
Is there a new Vral volume of Sonic Runners music?
There just might be volume 2!
Ah.
And this is the updated winter song for it.
What do you mean updated?
Well, I mean, this is the same song from that we heard before.
Right.
That people had ripped from the game, but it's totally different.
Oh, really? Wait, yeah. How is it different?
I mean, different instrumentation, a new melody. It's just totally, like... going in another direction.
Yep, I like this song.
It's not like an oboe thingy? I don't know what that is.
An oboe thingy. Yes, we'll go with that. Yeah, this is a really good song. It was better, but mine was slightly more original, so... I mean, I guess it's a secret song. It's a secret remix-ish.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you didn't know this version existed.
That's true. I did... Yes, you're right. It's great. Man, everyone needs to check out the Sonic Runners soundtrack because probably not many people bother. But
yeah, and there are new songs we've never heard from the next album. It's cool.
Awesome. I'll be sure to check that out then.
So that song is called Magical Snow Day, and that is totally what it sounds like to me. It just put me in a really good mood.
Yeah, I agree. You know what else puts me in a good mood, Steven?
I don't know, man. What?
Pizza.
Oh.
Yeah, don't you like pizza?
Yeah, totally.
You know what else puts you in a good mood, Steven?
Yeah, what's that?
The Remix Rewind. Let's look at the fun.
You could probably cut out every track except the bass line from Phonetic Heroes Super Castlevania 4 Remix Ripples and be totally set. But, as it were, you get the whole happening jam. Man, that sounded really hip.
Ever listen to Nier's soundtrack and just think to yourself, man, this would be great sung by a Vocaloid? If so, your oddly specific request has been met at last. Remixer Shoppy One arrives with his first track for the site, Ignis. Taking a song from 2013 release Drakengard 3, Ignis ignites the piece with the fiery passion of rock, culminating in an electrifying and lengthy guitar solo.
Dusk welcomes us into the Christmas season with what he knows best, guitars and Guild Wars, for a Trans-Siberian Orchestra-inspired holiday opus called One Winter's Day Night. I'm not sure how he managed to get two Christmas tracks featured on one episode of the show, but hey, I'm glad he did.
know a better way to celebrate the Christmas season than submerging yourself in ice-cold water? I sure don't. Luckily, Carpocalypse has provided the perfect soundtrack for you to do so. Using icy waters from Aquaria at the base, Prayer for the Azure Waters provides a lovely harmony of flute, guitar, and atmospheric synths that will provide a perfect sense of calm as you pass out from hypothermia.
This jaunty rendition of Super Mario 64's Snow Mountain comes to us from a group of happenin' jammers called Long Box of Chocolate. They really get into the spirit of both Christmas and the game in question with some super saxophone, great guitars, and dynamo drums. All that's missing is an amazing accordion, oh my gosh! You can listen to this song and more at ocremix.org.
We're back with Ripped, Zipped, and Extracted from the Headlines, otherwise known as our news segment with way too long of a title.
I don't think we need to give that extra subtitle, Brian. It's very obvious what we're talking about, and it's very clever.
Well, I like to do that anyway, so...
That's okay. We have our own traditions, our own holiday traditions every year.
So what you got for us today, Steven?
Speaking of holiday traditions every year, an Overclocked Christmas Volume 9 is available
Volume
for those
nine.
Who like to listen to Christmas music after Christmas.
Awesome. So, tell me about these here Overclocked Christmas albums, Steven.
Okay. So Christmas is an ancient holiday with Christian roots.
No, you don't
roots.
Have to tell me about Christmas.
Oh, okay, gotcha. That'll make it a lot easier.
Yes.
An Overclocked Christmas is a community-based... album, a celebration of Christmassy video game remixes that comes out every single year and obviously has been going on for, I guess, 9 years at this point. It's not an officially sanctioned overclocked product.
Is it
not...
bootleg?
Yeah, it's bootlegged overclocked. It's overclocked and you space between over and clocked.
Oh, no.
It's pretty much the greatest crime that you can commit. There are lots of familiar people, like Tamias has done this before. Dusk and Rexy, who we're going to talk to later, have been in the album.
Yeah, Dusk has a song on this album.
Yeah. It's just like a for fun thing. All of the rules are basically taken away from a normal, you know, like official overclocked release. So it doesn't have to go through that whole process. It's just kind of for fun with the community making good times and Yule tides and that kind of thing.
Yeah, actually, from this latest album, Volume 9, you're going to hear Dusk in our Intune interview today talk about an album he put together for it. A song he put together for the
we've
album.
We've already played at least one song, which again was Dusk, One Winter's Day Night from Guild Wars 2.
Fantastic. All right, so what's our next news item here?
Have you ever heard of Big Bad Bosses?
I'm the boss. I'm the boss. Yeah. I'm very, very sorry for your loss. I'm the boss. I'm the boss. Yeah. And just in case I didn't get my point across, I'm the boss.
I have, because I've heard of Jake Toffin.
Oh, okay. That's how it works. You can do like the degrees of Jake Kaufman and find everything.
Exactly.
So this is like a new a boy band that is.
Is it a boy
formed.
Band?
Here's the conceit. Jake Kaufman is writing the music with a bunch of guest stars, many of them YouTube. I believe they're YouTubers and streamers mostly for video games. And this album, Power Overwhelming, is what if video game bosses were in a boy band from the late 90s and early 2000s?
Okay.
And it's just brilliant. All you need to do is listen to their debut song that also has a music video that's animated, I might add, and you will completely get where they're going with this.
If anyone has ever seen stuff from Starbomb, it's extremely similar to that, so much to the point that I believe they had the foreword done by Aaron from Starbomb, who is known
for doing... What is Starbomb? Please tell me what that
is. Okay, do you know what Game Grumps is?
Yes, I do.
All right. So basically, two of the guys from Game Grumps, I think Danny and Aaron, have basically a band where they create video game parody music to animated videos.
Okay.
It's literally, when I saw the video, I thought, is this Starbomb video? Like, what's going on here? And then I realized it was just something that's literally the same thing. And
I know they haven't, not all of, unfortunately, all of the songs are animated.
Sure.
Only one so far. But you can tell Jake is involved. I mean, you can see the fingerprints of those creators, right?
Yeah.
And you can tell Jake Kaufman is involved because, A, the lyrics are, like, really, really clever and funny and off the wall.
Right.
But the music is just almost too perfect. Like, how could someone nail this so well?
Right.
Like, go watch a music video for, like, NSYNC. And then go watch or go listen to a few of these songs. And
I hadn't realized that influence was there. That's super
cool. That's it. That is what it is. Like, if Ganondorf, Sephiroth, Bowser, and Dr. Robotnik were in NSYNC, that is what this album is.
I mean, Sephiroth fits that incredibly well.
Oh, he does. So. He really does.
That's awesome. So, yeah, lots of apparently they have appearances by Grant Kirkhope, Dale North, Aaron Hansen.
Dale North is in there, I think.
Yeah, I just said Dale North.
Oh, I was ignoring you. I just
Matt Pat from Game Theory. Yeah, that has had all sorts of people on there. So
yeah.
And Jake Kaufman is the self-proclaimed puppet master.
Yes.
So yeah, be sure to check that out. Bigbadbosses.com. Or if you check Jake Kaufman's Twitter feed, he's like talking about it constantly. So
yeah.
Let's move on to our final news album today. The Street Fighter V score, composer, and album details are out.
Oh yeah, VGM Online. Is where I found this tidbit of news. And it basically boils down to the fact that Capcom has recently put out a few songs or samples of songs from Street Fighter V. And I really, really like it. Specifically, Ken's theme and the New Zealand stage were really awesome. VGM Online has all of the songs right there, hyperlinked, so you can get to them easily. But they also released some names of the people working on it.
I'm excited.
Because of Keiichi Kobayashi?
Yes, because the Ace Combat Mastermind is back, and that's like my favorite game series of all time in terms of soundtrack.
Yeah, and it's just kind of exciting. I'm not the biggest Street Fighter soundtrack fan in comparison to other people, I guess.
I like it a lot.
I like it a lot as well. And Overclocked Remix, you know, like, basically did the Super Turbo Hyper HD Xbox Live theme song. So it has
the
close ties to this here community.
Awesome. And I guess that's all we have for news this week.
Yeah, I think that's
it. Good stuff, though.
Yeah, that was pretty newsy.
Speaking of good stuff, pizza.
Also, we talked to Bev Wolf, known as Rexian, and Dustin Branscombe, known as Dusk, in our intern interview. So maybe we ought to go there and
you sound very out of breath.
Holiday cheer. Yeah, I never have breath anymore. It's hard to breathe when your nasal passages are built up of mucus. It's the Intune Interview Holiday Edition. I'm Steven.
Hi. Sorry, I was muting my mic because I was coughing again.
Dang it, man. That was my intro.
Well, just be glad I muted my mic and didn't, like, cough directly into it, because that would be worse.
No, that's good. You don't want to spread germs during the Christmas season.
No, not all those germs you can get by listening to podcasts. It's terrible.
Well, they do say that the music on OC Remix is infectious, so you never know.
Nice. I like it.
Well, to continue on with our Christmassy trend for this episode, we have a full house of lovely guests here to gather around our fire and talk about music. One of whom is Dustin Branscombe, whom you might know as Dusk. Hey, Dustin.
Welcome
to our show.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here as well. And Bev, what's your last name? I forgot your last name.
Wolf.
Wolf. Bev Wolf is here as well.
You might know it's the Rex troubles of when people don't put their last name in Skype profile. It's like, a shoot. It's not in front of me. What's your last name again, Steven? I forgot.
I think it's yours.
Oh, okay.
But Bev, welcome to you as well. We're very happy to have you here on this most holiday-ish of occasions.
Thanks again, and apparently your puns are starting to get a lot worse than whatever I spit on Sega Mixer Drive sometimes.
I have recently gotten several nice comments. I'm including one from Shark saying they enjoy our bad jokes.
Ooh,
that's
really?
That's the point.
That's actually good to hear.
We were worried we offended him last time.
I'm worried that he's like, these guys are representing OCR. We probably need to look into this. We have higher standards.
Well, he may wrestle the power away from us one day, but not today.
That is not this day. All right, Steven, so what are we talking about in this interview? What is our song of choice here?
Well, I wanted to continue along with the Christmas theme, like I said. So I actually pulled one from one of the Overclocked Remix Christmas albums.
Seems fitting.
Yeah, yeah. And this one is from Restar? Ristar? Okay, we need to take a quick
poll. I think it's
poll.
Ristar.
I always said Ristar, but I've been reprimanded in the past about it.
I've always called it Ristar because I figured it was like a play on words involving wrists and his stretchy arms and whatnot.
Yeah, because he's always using his wrists to swing around and punch people and stuff.
The true answer is, Steven, it's Ubisoft.
Yeah, I'm pretty much saying Ristar as well. I used to read it like that, but then the Radio Sega people end up saying Ristar, and then when I looked back at the kanji, it was like Ristar. I was like, I got it right the first time.
Yeah, I'm with you completely. I said Ristar growing up. Everyone else started telling me Ristar, and I'm back to Ristar, I think, after this conversation.
You know, I think I remember when we were on Radio Sega.
Yes.
For those who might remember that, we joined them and did a fun quiz and talked about the show a little bit. We ended up talking about Ristar a little bit.
Yeah.
And I am pretty sure that people in the chat were telling us we were pronouncing it incorrectly.
Whoa, well.
Because we were going Ristar.
People in chat are never correct.
No, the debate will rage on forever. But the song in question is one that was a collaboration between Bev and Dustin, which is why we brought them both on. And it's called Stars on Ice. And if I am correct, Dustin, this was sort of your original project, right?
It was. I started it off. I made the bass. I had like a rough rudimentary piano. And then later on, like once it was just about done, once I was doing all the mixing and stuff like that, I didn't really like the piano that I came up with. And I'm not a very good piano player, so I couldn't live play it. I didn't have the equipment. I didn't have the ability. Mm-hmm. So I shot it off to Bev because she is a pianist, and I told her that, you know, this is what I have, roughly speaking. I left a little spot open as well. Go nuts. And she went nuts, and it was great.
So, Bev, was that the only thing were you like the piano person on this mix, or did you do anything else? Or,
well, I was just a piano player. I ended up following Dusk's instructions, and of course, by going nuts, that also means trying to fit in as many cameos of other Ristar tunes as I could possibly cram in all at once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I definitely noticed, like, the first level, I don't remember what it's called, but there was definitely a little ditty from there. How many of the little things were you able to sneak in? Do you remember?
Well, yes, the first one that ended up coming up was indeed Shooting Ristar or Dancing Leaves, whichever version you actually want to see from the first world.
Yeah.
So that one that was in there just before going into the little bridge, and Dusk's guitar thing. I can't English today. Okay. So after the little guitar solo, I managed to fit in part of the melody that's more of the basis for Ice Scream for the first half of that little thing, which is obviously more of a shuffle type arrange of Ring Ring, if you can understand what I mean. And then the second half of that one was a reference to Doo-Dee-Da, which is, to me, one of the most iconic tunes from the entire game. I also admit, Sonata is absolutely beautiful, and it is a very good early representation of dynamic soundtrack use, if you're trying to put it this way.
Yeah.
It just builds up with more of the people you actually rescue, and with this big bombastic rendition when you get to the mid boss right at the end.
Yeah, I heard that in there. It was like the music world, if I remember correctly, from Ristar, where like you're jumping on pianos and doing a bunch of stuff with music. And the second I heard that melody, I'm just like, yeah, that is like the melody from Ristar for me, is that just that simple tune that carries to that whole world, that whole level. So I was very happy to hear that.
It's kind of surprising how well all of the melodies fit together into one song under the Christmas banner, really.
It's a bit of a shame I couldn't really reference the boss for Sonata, but you know, that was like one of the most amazing things I ended up seeing, really. Another dynamic soundtrack. If the bird ever starts singing, the music becomes really ugly and distorted.
Oh man, that reminds me of way back on the NES, whenever I played Final Fantasy, I would go into the shop, and anytime I chose an item or moved a menu selection, half of the music would cut out.
Yep.
And it was like very charming. I actually kind of like it when games do that.
Muting sound channels is one thing, but completely changing the key and tones is another.
That was a super cool idea. Like you said, it was one of the earliest examples I can think of like integrating music with gameplay. So
yeah,
so intuitively. So that was really neat.
So, well, speaking of the actual game, are you guys both Ristar fans? Like, did you play it back in the day, or what? What's your history?
Oh yeah,
here?
I had Sega Channel when I was a kid,
mm-hmm.
So that's how I found it, and I ended up playing all the way through it using that. So I'm a huge fan of the game.
Bev, what about you?
I didn't physically own the game when I was a little girl, but one of my friends allowed me to borrow it. In fact, I ended up getting through a lot of bottled classics that way. Streets of Rage being one of them, and one that, which managed to give me that appreciation for the soundtrack. I was brought up on the train station at 8, if I can recall. Let me see if I could try and remember some others. I tried Dynamite Heady, but I managed to find that a little bit tricky for a little 8-year-old me at the time.
Oh yeah,
obviously. Oh yeah, and Ristar was among them. Ristar was, sorry, I can't pronounce it right even myself either.
Make your choice and stick with it.
Yes, Ristar. When I ended up borrowing it, I believe I couldn't quite make my way through Fiery Planet on my first pass. Must have been about 10-ish when I was making my way through, but it was a very charming and detailed world that managed to really suck me in for the time I managed to have it. It wasn't until I'm going to have to sadly admit this, discovered emulation when I managed to try it again and keep going by persistence and really enjoy the rest of what the game has to offer.
It really is one of those standout Genesis games. And for those who haven't played it, it's about this little dude who looks like a star and he has stretchy arms. It really was kind of up there in the ranks with Sonic the Hedgehog in terms of how beautiful and fun to play it was. I'm a little bit surprised they never did anything else with Ristar. I like that game.
It's funny you mention that, because one of the Sonic prototypes ended up being the basis for Ristar in the end.
Yeah, exactly. Wasn't it a bunny with ears that could stretch? Was that it? Or am I remembering wrongly?
Yeah, it did look like a bunny, didn't it? I'm thinking of that old prototype feel. Look up a lot of details about it on Ristar Cluster. Oh, not again! Not again! It's a very fantastic fan site that details a lot of the history behind Ristar and all the fan appreciation that had gone on since the game's release.
That's cool. It kind of reminds me of Knights in that way, where at the time it had one game, but it was so magical, everyone like just crowded around it. And yeah, Sega had that tendency in the past.
The funny thing is, The people behind the soundtrack actually went on to do the music for Knights as well, so I can see the resemblance.
You're right. You're totally right. That's got to be a lot of what's ingrained in my brain. But before we go on and play the actual song, I kind of wanted to cover the Overclocked Christmas projects that I mentioned before. Could you guys give a little synopsis of what that's about?
Oh, yeah. They're not really official projects. They were historically run by Dine, and then later on the Coop, when he was when they were basically trying to get the community together centered around this sort of holiday thing. So they're not really official projects. They don't have an official release on OCR. They don't have the same quality standards. They don't have the same like standard checking, all that good stuff. It's just something that we all like to do for fun every year, just to get together and just do this random mishmash of Christmas music and video game remixes and all this other stuff that just kind of brings in the holiday cheer.
Yeah, it's much more of a sort of slapdash, lighthearted, everyone can contribute kind of thing. You don't have to worry about, you know, the rules and the quality, making sure everything is, you know, finished and packaged and sent out with the OCR name on it. But it's a very fun thing to listen to. I have a couple of them. I really should download more of them. I think I have the two most recent ones. Speaking of which one did Stars on Ice star in, I guess?
That was the 2012 album, I believe.
Okay.
I believe his actual name was An Overclock Christmas Volume 6. I'll need to check on Google just to make sure.
That sounds right.
Yeah, I think that's what I saw as
and
well.
And if it sounds right, then it probably is.
Just like Rystar.
I just remember it was the 2012 album because...
I'm looking at the notes, and it is Volume 6. Continue on.
Okay.
Yeah, I just remember how... the only reason I remember it is because at the time... I was using default FL Studio drum samples, and I did that with that song as well.
Okay.
It actually wasn't until next year that I moved on to better samples.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, that's cool. You know, drums and drum samples are always the thing that historically I would ignore, and Brian would have to point out why they're interesting. but now I finally know how to listen to them a little better.
So that's actually something I'm curious about. Before we play it here real quick, why don't you run down real quick, like, what kind of samples and stuff did you use for this, or what kind of tools did you have at your disposal when putting this together?
Well, I'm a lifelong FL Studio user, so there's that.
Yep.
I had just purchased the legal copy of the software. I was a dirty pirate for a good, like, 3 years before then.
Yeah.
There's that. I used Miroslav Philharmonic Classic Edition, which is a very budget-oriented orchestral library for the string sounds and the initial piano.
Right.
And then I found a sort of a jingle bell sample.
I thought that one was really cool. It almost had a kind of Genesis-y lure bit vibe to it, which matched.
It was a little bit lo-fi. I got it from like a free sound sample website. Yeah. I can't remember what the name of it is.
But it worked for the source.
I ended up just like volume altering it and stuff like that, kind of humanizing a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It actually wasn't until a lot later, like 3 years later, that I realized that I wasn't using half of the Miroslav Philharmonic library. Like, half the sounds were missing. I had installed it incorrectly.
Oh my god!
And it turns out there was like a Meisenbell sample in that library, and I just didn't know it. And it sounds so much better. Funny story about that. I ended up actually using that for my remix for this next upcoming Overclock Christmas album.
Oh,
so one day you're
cool
gonna need to go back and do a remix of this remix with, like, okay, right. I have the sample.
I've actually thought about, because like there were complaints about it, about like the guitar being kind of muffled and stuff like that.
Right.
I've actually thought about going back and sort of remastering it a little bit, sort of releasing it up to my current standard. I just never got around to it.
Totally. What did you use for guitar? Was it like a virtual amp, or do you do live recording?
I do all my stuff on virtual amps because I live in an apartment and I don't actually own an amp anymore. I ended up selling it after my live music stint.
Mm-hmm.
I use a Schecter C1 Plus with an EMG 8185 set as my primary guitar. And I record direct in using a Pod Studio UX2, and all the amp sounds are a custom tone I made with Pod Farm.
All right,
so
nice.
it's all me. It's just me tweaking, like, you know, it's the culmination of, like, well, at the time, like, 2 years worth of just experimenting with tones. But it's all direct in. I don't record a live amp or anything like that.
Yeah, I'm totally with you there. It's like there's just so much more choice and flexibility with doing it digitally.
It is.
Especially with those kind of setups.
There are things that, you know, like, you know, it affects the sound quality a little bit. There are things that you can do with a live amp that you can't do with a digital amp. So it kind of makes my job a little bit trickier when I want to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always found a way around it. And I mean, everybody else says it sounds nice. So, you know, whatever. I make it work.
So Bev, once Dustin sent some of the stuff over to you, was there anything specific that you wanted to point out on how you added the piano to it?
Well, what I ended up doing was bringing the backing track into Reaper, booting up Alicia's keys, which was at that time my piano sample of choice. And I guess it still is if I want to try and do something a bit more gentle. And being able to work my way with that. So I ended up sending Dasker two particular files after I was done. First was a standard MIDI, and I ended up getting that way, just in case he wanted something a bit smaller to work off and get on his own production side. The other was the actual raw recording with the Alicia's Key sample. I'm still not quite too sure exactly which one he used in the end, though.
I ended up using the Alicia Keys sample. I didn't touch the MIDI at all.
Oh, okay. Now yeah, I understand.
I just brought it straight in, and I applied like a slight reverb to it, a very, very slight reverb, and then I was done.
Nice.
See, we're already solving holiday mysteries here. All right. Well, with that done, it's time to play the remix so you can all listen to this lovely tune.
Ho,
and
ho,
then
ho.
We'll be back for more conversation. Brian, can you say that again about louder?
Ho, ho, ho! And we are back. That was a lovely holiday tune we just heard. So, Stephen, what do you think your favorite part of that was, that song? I'm curious your opinion on it.
That is a great question. And I think that it has to be those... It's kind of actually a toss-up. Can I say one of my favorite parts was the Jingle Bell sample?
Yeah.
I really liked it. It had a really warm, homey feeling to me. But another part I liked that we mentioned before was the little flourishes and nods to other Ristar songs on the piano. So I think those are maybe the two parts that stand out to me the most, at least.
Totally. What about you guys? Dustin, what stands out to you most about this track?
I feel like the overall uniqueness of it sort of stands out. It's nothing like I had done before, and it's really nothing like I've done since. Mm-hmm. I feel like one of my favorite parts are the sort of up and down, the roller coaster that it does between, you know, when it's just doing that standard groove, you know, you got Bev's keyboard playing, and then it sort of picks up. I throw on the gain on the guitar, I do a solo, little lead part that alludes to the main source, and then it kind of calms back down. And I really like how I managed to pull that off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that part does have a whole lot of pop to it, and I really appreciated when it came in. What do you think, like, what inspired you? Were there any specific, like, other songs or groups that you were inspired by for the style, or was it just the holiday vibe that you think made it different from your other tracks?
Not really. I just wanted to make, like, a rock Christmas song. That's really it. I wasn't really on, like, a kick or anything like that with some of, like, with some of my other tracks.
Yeah.
It's just, when I was listening to the source tune, the idea sort of popped in my head for how it would sound.
Mm-hmm.
Not really with any outside inspiration or source from another artist.
Totally. That makes sense. Yeah, when you, like, the first thing that popped in my mind when I was listening to it was, like, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, which is a rock Christmas group. Yeah. And I think that's very much the similarity I just saw, is it, like, takes that, you know, holiday cheer and that kind of quiet hominess, and then it combines it with, you know, the fun and energy of rock. So that's always been a natural combination. Yeah.
They weren't necessarily an inspiration for this piece at the time. However, it is funny that you mentioned that, because on the upcoming Christmas album,
okay,
huge inspiration for that remix.
That makes me a little bit excited.
I think fans of TSO and fans of Guild Wars 2 are really gonna like what they hear on that.
Oh, Guild Wars 2. That's exciting. I've loved the Guild Wars 2 mixes I've heard so far. So that is a treasure trove of music. So Bev, what about you? Anything in this song that specifically stands out? Obviously, those allusions you made to other Ristar songs were pretty awesome.
Well, as I say, I'm generally very fond of the, the typical 70s holiday rocks that we tend to end up hearing with this. And I have a feeling that this was the feel that I was hoping to see actually come together. It's like a bygone era that managed to come through in a more modernly produced way or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Rather than having to get exposed to what kind of modernized stuff to get down with the kids these days, if you know what I mean. It's just good old-fashioned fun. That's what it had to be.
Yeah, I totally know what you mean. It's genuine. It's really good stuff.
Yeah, now there's only one thing that I think you guys need to do if you ever remaster it.
Okay.
You have the guitar down, you have the piano down, but I think we need someone with a horn, maybe even a bugle, to go along with the piano.
Well, you could then, just a cappella it like that, and you might be
just
good to
okay
go.
I already gave you the sample, guys. There just use that.
Just work with that. I'll totally hit up Detective Tuesday, see what he can do.
Yes. Maybe even Sir Jordanius, if he actually wants
then
to do something like that.
There we go, him too.
Oh, wow. This is going to be a massive collab on just one track.
Sounds way too cool.
So going on, like, the inverse of that question, is there any, like, as Steven apparently wrote it here, unfavorite part of the remix or anything in specific you'd want to do different going back to it?
I would definitely re-record the guitar.
Right.
The guitars, there was this issue with the guitars. The guitars sounded okay until I noticed when I was listening to it in other steps. You know, I like to export my mixes and listen to them on other devices.
Yes.
So that I know that I'm, you know, getting good sound out of it. And on every other speaker set, the guitar had this really, really, really high-pitched sound to it that was just really, really annoying.
Right.
So when I EQ'd that down, that ended up muffling the entire guitar work. So I would actually re-record that guitar to make sure that that's just weeded out, and that would give the track a little bit more high end. I want to say really high end overall. right. What I would add to the track.
You think that would bring the guitar forward as a more prominent piece? And is that something you would want to do?
Or? That guitar is more of a background element. The main focus is really, you know, in that certain section that I'm referring to, right. The piano. The piano is the forward element.
Yeah, I think the only difficulty, like you touched upon, is that they tend to be bleeding into the same space.
Yeah, exactly.
Sound space. And it's because of that, you know, it wasn't by choice. It sounded by, like, at that point, you were kind of forced into that box.
And knowing what I know now, like, I would probably drop the mids on those guitars a little bit. Give the mids of the piano a little bit of chance to shine through.
Yeah.
And then let the guitar kind of sort of take that harmonic high end.
Totally.
That'll bring up the airiness of the track overall while allowing the piano to be nice and clear.
Right. I noticed the solo seemed a lot more clear. Is that just because you're able to give it more volume, or is that recorded separately?
It was all recorded separately. I used an entirely different tone set for that.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Mm. Okay.
And it was easier for me because I'm also used to mixing. I was used to mixing those elements at the time. Mm-hmm. I've done a bunch of rock stuff before, so I was able to set up my tones exactly the way I did it before.
Yep.
And that's why it didn't sound as weird, as muffled right. as the rest of the track.
Totally. That makes a lot of sense. And Bev, with the piano stuff, is there anything you'd want to revisit, or were you pretty happy with what you got across the track?
How many Ristar songs do you wish you could have fit in?
Well, actually, the only thing that I wish I could have done a little bit differently was to... more with the timing. I felt if I had a lot more time, I thought I could be able to try and keep practicing the lines just to make sure it could feel a lot tighter to be able to meld with the elements a bit more. So I was kind of fearing when Dusk ended up telling me, I want to send this off to Overclock Remix. Are you okay with it? I was like, yeah, sure. Although in my mind, I thought the looseness might hold it back a little bit, but it didn't seem to be. So I was really surprised by that.
I was actually pretty surprised when it got past two, because
that was
also at a point where I've regularly get passed on that site now, but back in 2012, like every time I submitted something, I was crossing my fingers and sweating. So
right, yeah, it probably. Help
I've
that
got
just...
over 20 tracks on the site now, and I still do that.
Yeah, they're you gotta appreciate the firmness of the judges. Like, they care about what they do, which is nice, but also a little bit nerve-wracking, I think.
Mm-hmm. Suddenly this popped in my head. A cool segment we could do on the show is to bring in some of the judges and talk to them about, like, maybe, you know, three different judges on one song and have them discuss why or why they did not pass that song.
Oh yeah, that, I would love to have like a judge panel and just go through like the process of judging a song and what they do.
As long as whoever submitted that song is okay
you could just call it "Why Does This Suck?"
Pretty much, and just play random pieces of songs and let them tear it apart. It'll be great.
See, I don't even know if Dancing with the Stars has a similar after show in which people would discuss whether people should be kicked out or not, but right. I feel like this is what it's going to get turned into.
Oh, we make an OCR like a reality show? That actually could have legs. Oh my gosh. We could invent all sorts of drama. It'll be great.
Okay, well, let's not talk about this ever again. Instead, I'm going to ask you guys a new question, which is, do you have any new remixes in the pipeline that you want to talk about?
Dustin, why don't you go ahead? You can go first. Here.
I'm not working on any projects right now, so I like no like album projects or anything, so I can actually talk about the remixes that I have coming up.
Oh, cool.
The most obvious, of course, being, you know, this one coming up. Uh-huh. It's a... I don't know if you guys have ever played Guild Wars 2.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yep, hours.
You have? Okay. There's this seasonal event that actually just started today called Winter's Day.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Lena Chapelle created a very seasonal-sounding track for Winter's Day called The Great Toymaker. Very Christmassy-sounding song.
Uh-huh.
That's what I did my TSO-inspired remix of.
Okay, I think I've heard that song before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it plays a lot. Like if you were to go to Divinity's Reach right now, and go to the Queen's Pavilion, you would hear it boot up right away.
Okay. Oh, nice.
So I ended up doing that. Really cool opportunity sprung up as well. You will get to hear a sneak peek of this. I can't release it yet. Not until the the album's out. However, you will get a sneak peek of it if you tune into the Guild Wars 2 Community Showcase Live that's coming up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're going to go ahead and actually play it along with it, another fan's track.
Nice. So when does that go up, though? Because this particular episode is going to air around Christmas Day.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, then never mind.
Never mind.
You probably already heard it if you've tuned into the Community Showcase Live.
Wow. So you say it's TSO inspired. Out of curiosity, does that mean you added lyrics to it, or is it just for the instrumental parts?
No, okay. Not so much rock ballad TSO, but more of the main inspiration behind it was, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this right, Sarajevo 12.24.
Yes.
I think it's Rice Star.
Yeah,
nailed it.
Yes, that is one of their distinct styles, and it's incredible.
Yes, it was very inspired by that particular piece.
Gotcha.
So it's kind of got that overall feel. It's a little bit heavier than what you would expect out of TSO, because I am a metal artist.
Yeah.
But that was the main inspiration for the piece. So I've got that rock feel to it. I've got those mise en bells that I was talking about earlier. Piano, a very, very, like sort of invocative emotional violin,
nice.
Bombastic string work. I really, really tried to give this the really solid TSO treatment that I wanted it to have.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, if you've already heard it, you know what's going on, because we are in the future.
Or if you haven't, this is your cue to go listen. It's a good time to listen to it.
Pick up the album. It should have dropped by the time you're hearing this.
Great.
But yeah, so that remix was a lot of fun. I also have, you know, that Splatoon remix that I was talking about earlier. Last time I was on your guys' show. Train Station Today. Almost done. Waiting for the lyricist to get back to me on that. Outside of that, I mean, nothing major.
All right.
It's just I got a blank slate. I can start getting back into it.
Very cool. Solid. What about you, Bev?
Well, there's one track that's on a secret album that I don't really want to mention that's been sitting around for about a year waiting for an actual release. let me see. Oh, I've also did a Crash Bandicoot 2 arrangement for Even Hexdog's PlayStation album. It was due to get released as an OCRI earlier this year, but he ended up reconsidering how to go about this. But when it does drop, I really hope that my arrange for the Warp Room music for that game will actually, send some nostalgic Australian platformer Asia hearts flying. That's what I would say.
That's highly specific, but sounds good.
That's great.
Other than that, I'm pretty much on a blank slate, just keeping on doing the whole DJ thing on Radio Sega whenever I can. And I'm also waiting for the theme for the upcoming Sounds of a Sonic Stadium album. So it'll be good to see what I can actually do with whatever actually comes this way.
Neat. I always support Sonic music in any form, so sounds good by me. Well, anything you want to plug for us while you're here, like, you know, social media, where can people find you and listen to your music and whatnot?
Okay, Dusty, do you want to go first on this one?
Sure, why not? I'm on YouTube, like everybody else and their mother.
So where can we find Dustin's mother on YouTube? That's the important part.
But, fortunately, you can't find my mother on YouTube. That's good news for everybody else. But you, I'm on the other typical sites. You can usually find me at It Starts at Dusk on any social media channel, YouTube, yep. Facebook, whatever. I'm also on Twitter. One thing I will plug. Never mind. I actually can't do that.
Okay,
that's a secret.
Cliffhanger.
Yeah, that's a secret. But just find me, you know, my website, it starts at dusk.com. YouTube is the big place you can find me at. All my remixes are on there because they don't have restrictions like SoundCloud does. Evil SoundCloud. nothing really coming up, nothing really super spectacular coming up from me.
Yep.
Just kind of keep an eye out for the random mishmashes of you know, music that I release.
You got it. So, Bev, what do you got?
Okay, I've got my YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and SoundCloud all with my handle there, Freqrexy. That's spelled Freqrexy. And over on RadioSega.net, on the 8th of January 2016, Sega Mixer Drive will return for Season 4. So go ahead and tune in at 9 p.m. UK time, that's 4 p.m. Eastern, for another fantastic 2-hour run of fantastic Sega remixes.
You can tell Bev does this regularly.
Yeah, I could never host a radio show. For the, those of you guys who are listening, that is Freqrexy. That's pronounced Rice Star. So
that caught me off guard. That was really good.
Oh, God.
Well, thank you both for coming and joining us for this Christmas episode. It was a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you very much once again. Keep doing those silly puns into the new year.
All right, we'll try to think of some
that is more, one thing we? I can absolutely do.
Yeah, that's one thing we can promise on solemn oath. And so now we will return you listeners to the rest of the Overclocked podcast. And meanwhile, during the break, I'm going to practice my rendition for the upcoming Ristar Remix Remaster.
It's actually Ristar. And that was our Intune interview. Big thanks to Bev and Dustin for hanging out with us and making a bunch of jokes about Ristar. I mean Ristar.
And it was actually our second four-person interview since the first one since the Mercado Bros.
Crazy, crazy, crazy town.
Crazy towns. That's what I was thinking. Wow, we think so similarly.
Yes, we think so similarly. All right, it's time for our send-off.
Everyone, I hope everyone has had a lovely Christmas. And if you don't celebrate Christmas, just a lovely winter in general.
Yeah, it's been an interesting one here. Our Christmas was like 80 degrees down here in Houston.
Yes.
And now suddenly it's 50 degrees. I don't understand weather. I'm not a weatherman.
You are not.
No, I've never studied weather. I don't know whether or not it should be cold right now.
The sad thing is I thought that was genuinely
my judgment
funny.
Is clouded.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. I have no idea what's going on.
Oh, okay. Ice one, Brian.
Yes.
I hope everyone has enjoyed this.
I don't mean to rain on your parade.
Little portion of the Christmas season. I really, really like Christmas, and I love adding video games into Christmas. Like, for example, Christmas Nights. I play that every year. And it's just the Overclocked podcast, or the Overclocked Christmas album is another fun tradition. So I am glad to add to that.
I agree. I was trying to think of other weather puns. I'm not coming up with any.
It's okay. I think you filled your quota.
Man, was that that should have been a weather pun.
I don't know. I couldn't think of one either.
You filled your quota. You filled your snow. I already did that. All right, moving on. I was thinking really hard. Did you cover all the stuff we need to cover?
Not in the least bit. You should probably head over to www.ocremix.org to find out about the thing we talk about every week. If you want to talk to us, you can go to Twitter. We are OCR Podcast.
If you want to talk to us in more than 140 characters, you can email us at podcast@ocremix.org.
Or if you want to find out where we've spawned from, you can go to whalesorwhales.com to find out about more cool shows like this one.
That's whales, A-R-E, whales.com.
And that'll about do it for us this week. Thank you for joining us. It was a pleasure. And tune in later this week for our 2015 look back episode.
It's time for the playlist. The playlist is a weekly collection of recommendations so we can all discover music together. And this week's theme is Christmas music. Ho, 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 ho.
Buried in the Snow from Final Fantasy VII and submitted by Zachary. Thank you.
Ice World from the webcomic Brawl in the Family, submitted by Phoenix Down.
It's beginning to look just like an ice world. Oh boy, here we go. It's the platformer's greatest foe. Moving around is slow because of all the irritating snow. Yes, it's clear that we're in the token ice world.
Ice world.
Arm yourself with rage. For instead of you fighting through, your controls are fighting you through the whole darn stage. You've been through meadows and desert and water and forest and sky all since level one. Now is the time for your talents to shine as you brave the tundra atop. And slip and slip and slip and slip and fall onto your bum. We're struggling through the cliche ice world.
Ice world.
Death-defying jumps, jumps, jumps. Falling icicles hit the floor as you beg and plead no more in this frozen dump.
A Wish Crystal Forest theme from Secret of Mana, or Mana, and submitted by Brendan.
From Paper Mario Sticker Star, submitted by me.
King Wind Circles from the Big Giant Christmas EP and submitted by me. You've been listening to the Overclocked Podcast. Next week's playlist is Best of 2015. You've got an entire year to choose from. To submit your suggestions or just say Merry Christmas, hit us up on Twitter at OCR Podcast. Email us at podcast@ocremix.org or visit us on the forums at ocremix.org. And we hope you had a very Merry Christmas. This week's lyrical wisdom.
I'm giving Santa a Pikachu this Christmas. It's just the perfect thing to do.
And as his sleigh pulls out of sight, we'll hear him calling through the night.
With a ho, 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 and a Merry Christmas.
Pikachu.